Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
UK Tech Weekly Podcast.
It's raining tech. Hallelujah, it's raining tech. I am going to go out and I'm going to let myself get absolutely soaking wet. Wet in tech. Because it's the UK Tech Weekly Podcast. Hey you big listener. Welcome to this, the latest quart of freshly poured UK Tech Weekly Podcast. The UK's best post-fact weekly tech podcast. Neatly smashed into your head every Friday like a wasp, unerringly finding its way into your bathroom on a hot summer's day. The UK Tech Weekly podcast even is an infotainment tattoo from the editors of PC Advisor, Techworld, Macworld UK and Computerworld UK. Every Friday we head to an audio donkey sanctuary, using audio carrots to soothe bad-tempered audio asses as they live out the final years of their audio lives in a luscious audio paddock, in order to bring you no more than 40 minutes of informed tech chat on the hot tech topics of the past 7 days. Don't forget to subscribe, review, and tell your friends. I'm Matt Egan, Editorial Director of IDG UK, and today I'm delighted to be joined in conversation by the always interesting Chris Martin, Consumer Tech Editor of PC Advisor.
Hello.
The never boring Charlotte G, Editor of Techworld.
Hiya.
And the rarely sober Scott Carey, Online Editor of Computer. That's not fair, is it? Scott is much less of a lush than, say, Charlotte, for instance. Or me.
Blatant libel.
This week, we are talking Galaxy Note, GDS, and Instagram. It is going to be emotional. Note, note, note. You don't love me, and I note now. Chris Martin, what has Samsung done that has made you take note?
See what you did there.
Yeah.
So this week was the launch of the Samsung Galaxy Note 7, which was launched here in London, but also in New York and Rio at the same time. Not sure why Rio. Maybe because of the Olympics, yeah,
Zika
I guess
virus.
So.
Yeah. Samba. Yeah.
All of that stuff. Yeah. So this is Samsung's latest smartphone to go along with the Galaxy S7 and S7 Edge. So this is the bigger version, which comes with a stylus for those that kind of prefer...
It's got loads of stylus.
For those that prefer a phablet, as we, you know, as the industry's kind of termed them.
It's so you describe this as the first note that made you say, wow.
Just like that.
Why did you say wow?
Well, the note range has never been my kind of thing. It's been, like, the phone itself's been too big. Mm. No, I don't really use a stylus. But
no one uses the stylus.
No one uses the stylus.
I think some people do, though.
Mm. Well, I mean, like the delivery man uses it.
Yeah, those
I can't think of anyone else.
Those have got to be the most used styluses for the yeah. worst signatures you've ever seen.
Yeah, exactly.
It's mostly the design of it that is really nice. Like, basically, it mimics the S7 Edge in a way. Because it's got the dual-edge screen, so curved on either side.
So the screen wraps around,
yeah,
which is very nice.
So it's a bit like a cross between the Note 5 and the S7 Edge.
So what happened to the Note 6?
There is no Note 6. They didn't particularly mention this, but it's as far as I'm aware, it's basically just to line the number up with the S7.
It's like this sort of stylish thing where there's no Windows 9.
Mm. Yeah,
there's no Note 6. They're languishing in a gulag somewhere, but we're not allowed to speak about them.
Yeah,
no.
It makes sense, though. because otherwise...
It makes sense in so much as any of this stuff, mate.
Well, having a Note 6 now would be one number lower than the S7 that came out earlier this year. So it would kind of... It does... It is less confusing for consumers if all the phones that come out in the same year have the same number.
Mm-hmm. And that was an interesting thing to me as well. This is a bit sort of industry talk, a bit inside baseball, but a bit of American sports talk for Scott there.
Yeah.
But this was launched on the 2nd of August.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like the launches of what are in effect the 2017 flagships are slipping further and further forward. No one ever, in the old days, August was not a time when you launched products because nothing happens in August. It's
we used to have a bit of a month off, like just like catch up on some stuff that we'd never got around to and stuff. But now,
hearts are bleeding.
There is no let up now. And the Note range used to be announced in September, which is quite a popular month for smartphone launches, obviously, with the iPhone and shows like IFA, which happens in Berlin every year. Last year they launched the Note 5 in August, although it was at the end of August, and now it's at the beginning of August, although it's not coming out until September. So,
man that's gone mad.
Who knows the thinking? I'm sure these companies use some kind of algorithm or tool to pick the date, because everything happened on the 2nd of August.
That might be giving them too much credit. There's probably just five people in a room being like, yeah, that's a good date to do it.
How do they work it out, though? Because all these events seem to happen on the same day. Mm, so it was the Windows 10 anniversary update, the Xbox One S went on sale, the NVIDIA Titan X went on sale. Like, what's so special about
with the Microsoft ones? Does it just make sense to try and be
the Microsoft ones? Yeah, makes sense.
People's like consciousness.
Together, obviously Microsoft Xbox, but the rest. Who
knows? Well, Samsung's traditionally tried to get away from Apple as well, hasn't it? It wants to be before the iPhone launch. Mm. And this, but the iPhone launch isn't in front of the month, is it?
Just before IFA was still before the iPhone, but anyway.
So what is the deal with phablets?
They're too big.
They're too big, interesting.
Or are they too small?
Ah.
One of the reasons why I thought, wow, was because of the dual-edged screen, it does make the phone a lot smaller. So, there's less bezel going on. So it's a 5.7-inch phone, but it doesn't feel like that anymore. And it's got the kind of curved edges on the back as well. So it just looks and feels really nice.
So, Scott, you don't like phablets, but no. I noticed that in front of you, you have an iPhone 6.
Big
phone.
Yeah, I don't like it. I basically want an SE, but I'm locked into my contract.
Throw it out the window, come on.
It's already smashed up.
It is smashed. Wow, listener, if you could see what I can see.
This is the main reason why I don't like the big phones, because I've got... We've discussed this on the podcast before. I've got small hands, so like...
Scott has very small hands.
So like, that's why I drop these things. Like, they're too... You've got the rounded edges.
They fall out of your little
They're absolutely
hands.
Massive. They fall out of my little hands.
Surely you need a big phone then.
It's small hand.
You need
small hand.
But then you'd know to hold it with two hands.
I can't hold it with two hands. Come on, how are you going to catch Pokemon with two hands on the phone?
Or maybe you need a tiny, a really tiny phone.
Or a tiny stylus.
Yeah, one, just a pen.
Or just get when children have mittens, you could have like a bit of string attached to it. I don't know why I'm saying this. Yeah. Chris Martin's looking at me because he's had to help me out with a new phone probably three times this year already after I've dropped and smashed. But you don't like, so you're not at the size because it's too big. Charlotte, what sort of size phone are you busting these days?
My phone is massive. It's a OnePlus 2.
Oh yeah, that is a big
phone. It's huge. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, the Note 7 is probably smaller.
Really?
Phone,
I can barely use it with one hand. The fact that I can actually makes me feel quite masculine now that I say that. Christina, one of our colleagues who notoriously is a large-handed lady.
Big-handed.
I mean, she'd have no trouble with it.
But it's like telling that the iPhone 6, they had to build in like a little cheat where you can double tap the home button just to drop everything down for people like me that can't reach the top corner. I use it because I can't reach the top corner.
I think the iPhone actually, though, unusually for Apple, is an example of, because it was a reaction to the large screen phenomena, is actually quite poorly designed for a big phone.
Yeah.
Like a lot of the bigger phones, the Samsung Galaxy S7 Edge, which when I've not smashed it is my phone, would have been considered a phablet a couple of phone generations ago.
Yeah.
And it doesn't feel like a big phone. It's got a huge grip.
So phones getting bigger? Germany?
No, the industry's kind of settled on like 5 to 5 0.5.
Okay.
And the normal versions tend to be around 5. The plus versions tend to be 5.5.
Mm-hmm.
And then the kind of the Note ones are a little bit bigger.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But who here uses a tablet?
Yeah, I use a tablet.
Yep. What do you use it for?
Weekend stuff when I can't be bothered to get up.
Sure. Interesting.
Reading and video.
Yeah.
So I use my Kindle app and I use it to watch video on, like, when I'm travelling.
I'm exactly the same. I think there was an intention at one point, or there was a feeling at one point that the tablet would be used for more kind of productivity stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, when you've got a large screen phone, I mean, I never go to get my laptop to surf the web on the couch in an evening because my phone's there.
Yeah.
That is my second screen. And I think these larger phone sizes have kind of negated a lot of the uses that were at least envisaged for tablets. Although, like you guys, I also read books and watch mainly NFL on my tablet.
Yeah, especially when the TV's taken, you have to sort of double
ruddy
down.
People taking the TV.
I know, when the NFL's on. But like when companies like Samsung try and market these sort of product, like the phablets, do they sort of concentrate on the video, the bigger screen for video and that sort of thing? Because I do see people watching video on their phones on the tube in the morning. I couldn't imagine anything worse, personally.
With the Note range, they really go for the S Pen, so the stylus. Yeah. Like this, basically.
Samsung in particular market things in a really weird way, don't they? Yeah. We talked about this before, but it's like they constantly add features as a means of selling the product. Features no one will ever use, but that's their marketing.
There's tons of stuff like hidden away now in the software from kind of years gone by, but it's all still there. Like, you know, if you look away from the screen while you're watching a video, it will pause it automatically and stuff. Mm. But they never mention that anymore.
Yeah.
Like one of the new things on the Note 7 is the iris scanner as a way of unlocking. But I can't imagine anyone's going to actually use it.
It depends on
just to try it.
It depends on how smooth it is. Because I was getting a demo, as you mentioned, the anniversary update earlier. I was at a demo of the Hello biometrics feature that they have on their Surface Books,
and the
facial recognition one is almost instant. And if that was the case, then I'd use it all the time instead of using my thumb.
Well, it's not the first time we've seen iris scanning on a phone because the Lumia 950 and 950 XL have it. And the Windows Hello on those is really good.
Yeah.
But this is a bit like, it's a little bit awkward. Like you've still got to push the power button to wake the screen and swipe to unlock the lock screen. And then the iris scanner kicks in.
Mental.
It's
no,
like,
it's
too many steps.
How many eyes does it scan? Does it scan one eye or both eyes?
Both.
Mm. What about mono-eyed people?
I don't
Cyclops.
What about cyclops?
Yeah. I don't know, actually.
That solves the whole Minority Report issue, doesn't it?
Having
two eyes. Can't nick someone's eye and then use it to...
I can't answer that question, I'm afraid. But maybe we can jab someone's eye out and test it.
Yeah. I think we should.
Or just cover someone's eye.
Yeah.
No, I think we've got to jab someone's eye. Good,
The other thing is the price, which is £749.
Oh, yeah.
So good luck selling as many S7 Edges as that.
Oh, crikey.
Yeah, I mean, no one's going to pay that, are they, really?
It'll be contract, but don't worry.
Yeah. And Samsung probably, after Apple, has the most kind of kudos. People will ask for a Samsung. So some of the networks will supplement the price a little bit, I suppose. Mm. But yeah, it's a very...
Just thought I'd slip that in at the end.
Mm.
Yeah. Good. Okay, well, let's, with that in mind, go around the room. Scott Carey, Seventh Heaven, or Note Way?
Note Way.
Wow. Charlotte G?
Seventh Heaven, I think.
Chris Martin.
Seventh Heaven.
Seventh Heaven. That's a big thumbs up for the Cyclops-hating Samsung Galaxy Note 7. Lovely. Okay, we'll take a short break and then we're going to come back and talk about some stuff. Give me a G.
G.
Give me a D.
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 Give me an S.
S.
Charlotte G. Such enthusiasm. What the hell is GDS and why should I care this week?
Right, okay. GDS stands for the Government Digital Service.
You've lost me.
So it's about to get a bit wonky and I'm sorry. It's basically a unit of a department called the Cabinet Office in Whitehall. But let's not get too hung up on
they
that.
They are the carpentry departments?
No. So they were launched in 2011 and they basically are the centre for digital strategy in government. That's basically the easiest way to describe it.
Sure.
If you're a ordinary, non-Whitehall obsessive person, you probably will know them for gov.uk.
Gotcha.
The new government website.
So the way you can interact with government services on Tinterweb.
Exactly.
So is that things like registering to vote?
Yeah.
Car tax.
Or not.
Car tax.
Yeah, car tax. Yeah, that kind of
all
stuff.
All of the fun things.
Yeah, all the things you love doing on the internet.
Yeah, they've basically taken those things and, in theory, made them a little bit less horrible.
To be fair, gov.uk is pretty successful.
Good. Yes.
Well, it beats, the car tax example. It's not a fun thing to do. You used to have to queue in the post office.
It's still, way better than that.
Yeah, it's still, exactly. So, exactly a week ago, Brian Glick, who...
the Glickinator.
One of our rival titles, but is an all-round good chap. He posted a story that warned that senior civil servants were planning to break up GDS and return what it does to departments. This sounds kind of, inconsequential, but actually it would
like madness gone mad.
It's mad.
Because surely you would want to centralise all of that stuff.
Yep.
As a customer of government is I just want to go to one place. Yeah.
And you don't see all the institutions and you don't want to understand, this bit is HM courts and tribunals and this is Ministry of Justice. Mm. People just want to do a thing.
Yeah.
So basically it looks like a bit of a kind of Night of the Long Knives, if I can use that reference, but it's slightly
people
worrying.
Being killed,
people, well, they're not being killed, but maybe their careers are.
Wow.
I mean, basically after this story came out, it seemed to have been vindicated a bit because the boss of GDS was, we don't really know the circumstances, but it looks like he was slightly given the shove, and has been replaced by a man called Kevin Cunnington. Yeah. anyway.
Pause for effect.
I think everyone was thinking of jokes. Yeah.
That's not the funniest name in government, but anyway.
That is a segment waiting to happen.
I know. And that's now the third boss of this service in 1 year.
Sure.
So, yep.
Who was the previous boss?
Who was the previous boss? Yeah. A man called Steve Forshew Kane. And then before him, someone called Mike Bracken.
Mike Bracken,
who
he's
was
the famous one, isn't
a
he?
Big beast in government.
I have noticed this running trend now where everyone that quits these sort of roles then posts on Medium about how much they appreciated everyone they worked with and how sad they are to be leaving.
Yeah, I mean, trying to figure out who's behind this is quite fun. So it looks like permanent secretaries at the Department for Work and Pensions and also HM Revenue and Customs. It looks like those people, and also the CEO of the civil service called John Manzoni. These people seem to be basically not particularly pro-GDS and have been making a move while everyone's looking at Brexit.
So what's in it for them to basically try and break up the GDS? Or
More power, more control over their own budget.
So it's all very House of Cards.
Yeah, it is a bit House of Cards. Basically, GDS is quite threatening for them because, for example, they will get more involved in projects than perhaps some of those people would like. So they'll come in and say, wait a minute, don't do that. We'll build one thing for all of you to use.
Yeah.
And some of the departments are saying, no, we want, but we're special and different. In reality, if you're, say, making a payments platform, basically they can all just have one.
Of course. And they should have one.
And that's what they're trying to, that's what GDS are trying to do. But it's coming up with, it's being met with some resistance because it is quite threatening to their kind of power bases.
So how is this likely to affect us?
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
As people?
Unclear for now, but I mean, I went on Twitter and asked this week, you know, why does this matter and what has GDS actually achieved? And I got a pretty huge response, actually. People said, you know, they've forced government to put user needs first, which is the really important thing. But also they've saved, apparently, you know, a significant amount of money. We're talking possibly in the order of billions.
Well, it sounds like it, you know, yeah. Given the reverse you're talking about potentially happening.
Yeah. So it would potentially get harder for us to interact with government. And as taxpayers, we'd be wasting more of our money. So that's how it would impact on the
those
system.
Don't sound like good things.
No. So, I mean, I am, you know, obviously a bit of a fan. It's also not just confined to GDS, though. There's been a couple of moves. Mark Dernley, who's the chief tech guy at HMRC, he's gone as well.
HMRC tech is rubbish.
It is rubbish, yep. But
I'm not saying that's necessarily his fault.
Yeah, actually. I mean, well, they've got a massive contract called Aspire, which is about to come to an end. It's the most expensive government IT contract in Europe, I think, ever made. And they're replacing it. And apparently MPs have said this week they have less confidence in that being replaced next year without him being there. So who knows why he's gone? I mean, it was at the end of a fixed-term contract, but yeah, who knows?
So what are our experiences of interacting with the government in this way? We talked about car tax.
Yeah, I'm in the middle of self-assessing with HMRC at the moment, and it is unbelievably tedious.
But
to be fair, like this is the first time I've ever had to do it. It's probably a lot better than the way it used to be.
I think probably that is actually an area that GDS hasn't had as big an impact on.
No, but I do remember... Yeah. One sort of thing I remember doing was going to the Design Museum for Designs of the Year about 3 years ago, and Gov UK got the overall award for Design of the Year when they'd redesigned it, because it was just so user-friendly, so intuitive, and like so accessible, because it's got to be usable from like people who are 18 to like 88.
Better than Direct Gov.
Not those 8 to 9 year olds, though.
No,
sorry, not them, no.
So to be fair, it's the Gov UK platform, if we're going to call it that, is probably a success.
Yeah.
Is it better than other countries? How does that work?
Actually, other countries have started to copy us. So Australia have set up a digital team like GDS.
Didn't
so
Mike Bracken go to Australia, in fact?
Who did, sorry?
Mike Bracken, didn't he go to Australia?
No, actually, he's gone to Manchester.
Okay. Same difference.
But no, we have sent one of our senior Minister of Justice people now heads up the Australian office. So we have sent people there.
Again.
Sorry. and yeah, New Zealand has copied us a bit, and America has set up digital teams. So that's quite a compliment.
That'll come to an end soon.
That's a hell of a job.
Yeah, well America will come to an end soon, or the digital teams.
Yeah.
What's Trump's policy on digital government?
Switch it off.
Yeah. Get his mate Bill Gates to turn off that internet.
Yeah, just shut that thing down. Just close it up a bit.
Good. Well, I think we've comprehensively covered everything there.
All I can add is that I'm pretty sure all these people use Galaxy Notes.
Yeah.
On that
and they
bombshell.
Use the styluses too.
Yeah, they probably
styluses
do.
Styluses or
stylized? Stylized, whatever.
Anyway. No, they use...
Cyclopses
they
or
they use Blackberries. They still use Blackberries, seriously.
Oh, yeah, fair.
Yeah, that's the government
Samsung
phone.
Insists it's the S Pen and not stylus as well, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Rotters. So, let's go around the room. Simply the GDS'd! Or GDS. Didn't really think that one through. Scott Carey.
Simply the GDS.
I would rather you sang it. But,
no, okay. I'm not going to.
Charlotte G.
Simply the GDS. I'm also just not going to sing that, sorry.
Chris Martin.
I have to agree. And Simply the GDS.
Yes.
Well done.
My voice is really breaking.
Good on you, Chris, like for going where others feared to tread.
Luckily, you're the producer, so if you don't like it, just get rid of it.
Just set it out.
Like I'll just add a robot version.
Tina Turner in the room with us.
Exactly.
Right, we'll take a very short break, and when we come back, we're going to be talking InstaChat. Oh, what's the story, morning glory? Oh, need a little time to wake up, wake up. Scott Carey, what's the story with InstaChat?
Is this going to be another me playing the millennial conversation where I've got to explain things?
Yes, please.
Okay, so Instagram this week launched the first feature on their very, very popular app for some time. The last time they made a major feature upgrade was when they stopped forcing you to only post square photos.
Whoa.
So, I know, big... That really shook it up in the Instagram community. Now, though, they've just seen something their rival Snapchat has been doing and just ripped it off. Just plain and simple, ripped it off. So
you mean they've seen Snapchat?
Yeah, basically. Yeah. So Snapchat Stories, for those that don't know, is a way to post images or short videos and then you stitch them together into a story of like what you're up to. And then that disappears after 24 hours. So it's like ephemeral content. Whereas...
Ooh, good use of ephemeral.
Love the stuff. Yeah.
So Instagram have seen the success of this and copied it. But they haven't just copied it. They've actually copied the name. So it's also called Instagram Stories.
They should call it Instagram Snapchat Stories.
Yes.
Really been trolling.
Insta... Snapchat Stories, yeah.
The funny thing is, like, Silicon Valley companies generally will rip things off, but they won't generally admit to it. Mm. And Instagram have been very upfront about the fact that they've ripped this off.
Is that good or bad? Because it's a bit like...
I think it's that would really piss me off.
Yeah.
they've come out and said that, you know, Snapchat deserves all the credit for this feature. It's very popular.
That is bold.
That is bold. I actually kind of respect
that. I like that.
Yeah, I admire their honesty.
Because as you say, Scott, it is what happens in tech. I mean, you know, on the other side of it, you've got Apple taking Samsung to court for having a tablet with square edges.
It's silly. It gets really silly. Like, you look at all of these kind of lawsuits and the one with Google, I think it was Google and Oracle. And they're always just, it always just gets so banal and stupid. Like, even if someone did slightly steal something.
Yeah.
It sort of looks a bit petty.
The funny thing is that Facebook have been trying to copy Snapchat's success for ages now. Yeah. Facebook owns Instagram. They've done a few things, and I can't even remember what they're called now because they were so unsuccessful. I think one was called like Slingshot,
where you would
send an image and then it would disappear and things like that. Yeah. So this seems to be their first attempt at copying that might actually be successful.
Mm.
I think the feature is exceptionally well designed, well executed. And I probably won't use Snapchat much more anymore because I don't need to if I can do everything in one app instead of flicking
between
two.
Do you think it'll threaten Snapchat's survival?
I mean, it could. It could easily. There, a lot of the first Instagram stories that I watched from people that I follow were them saying, oh, good, I don't need to use Snapchat anymore.
Mm.
The thing is, Snapchat is an absolute, like, darling of teens and millennials
who have grown up on it. Oh, no.
So it'll be interesting to see if they stick by it.
Why do the youth love Snapchat so much?
I think because because they can keep things under the radar. Like, they can...
Is it all... Willy pictures.
Well, when you say under the radar, what you mean is on Snapchat servers.
That's the Daily Mail attitude, isn't it? They're all sending each other willy pictures.
No, they're not. You know, they're kind of boring these days. Yeah. Teams. They don't do stuff like that. They don't drink. They stay in. They just send each other pictures of their face.
Yeah, and do like face swaps and stuff.
Yeah.
That's awful.
Popular article on PCA, how to use face swap on Snapchat.
Oh, yeah. Just putting it in there, plugging that.
Mainly because of the images we use to illustrate the story.
Yeah.
Some of them will haunt me to the grave.
Yeah.
And possibly beyond.
So you were saying about the legal implications, Charlotte.
Yes.
Just quickly touching on it, because I actually looked into this, because I found it kind of interesting. something like this, there is like no legal grounding for suing mm-hmm. Instagram. Basically, right. there's only so many ways that you can design an app or a feature mm-hmm. or a website. Mm-hmm. And unless they absolutely copied it, like for like, feature for feature, mm-hmm. color for color, mm-hmm. or if they had copied the code, which
mm-hmm. yeah.
they would have to get at the code to start
that,
with.
Yeah. And that happens a lot, actually.
Yeah, and that's what happened with the
Willy
Google
Wonka style.
That's what happened with the Google Oracle case, was they yep. actually copied code, and that's why it went all the way right. through to the court system.
Okay, so without doing that, you don't have as much of a case.
No, okay. there's no chance.
That's kind of fair enough.
Yeah,
it's when like Matt said, they're kind of taking people to court for like having a similar device. It's in the same category.
Tinder are trying to sue Thrinder at the moment.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, Thrinder have changed its...
They've rebranded.
So they've actually scared them off.
What a time to be alive.
Never
Thrinder.
Good.
Yeah.
Because that is an app where more than two people can get together to do rude stuff.
Oh. Yeah. I know.
It's like this podcast, but in a different way. It's bad. It's not bad.
Anyway.
It's all healthy. Good fun. So doesn't this speak a little bit, because we talked about Facebook and Twitter in the past as well, speak a little bit of sort of the homogenization of social media in the sense that they can't all survive. So good features get picked up by the big beast. In this case, it's Facebook stroke Instagram.
Mm, yeah.
Will Instagram stroke Facebook essentially just kind of take the best
winner
features?
Takes all?
Yeah, because Facebook's taken the best bits of Twitter, essentially.
Yeah, so... what will be really interesting to see is if Instagram goes one step further. So one of the most popular features we were just talking about on Snapchat is the dynamic filters, where you can swap your faces, or you can put like a overlay of a dog over your face and stuff like that. Kids love this stuff.
All I want to do now is put a dog on my face. Not in that sense.
And basically, if they're going to go as far as just copying the stories feature, I wouldn't be surprised if they're currently looking at copying the dynamic filters as well.
But Snapchat can do the same thing. You know, Snapchat can reverse engineer features that are on other platforms.
Yeah, but it wouldn't work. Like,
you have the kind of first mover advantage though, don't you? Like, if you're the first one to do it, that puts you at a distinct...
Yeah, I mean, there is definitely a case here that Facebook and Instagram will just start to dominate the market a little bit more. They already do. Instagram has 300 million daily users. God. Snapchat has 150 million daily users. So it's already playing
catch up.
Yeah,
I wouldn't be surprised if Snapchat goes down a bit.
Yeah.
Because Instagram is, you know...
You might see them flatten off a little bit.
Why wouldn't Instagram just buy Snapchat? Presume it doesn't need to.
They probably tried. I think Facebook have tried to buy Snapchat, and Even Spiegel won't give it up.
What's he called? Even Spiegel?
Even Spiegel. Even or Evan.
I like
he's American. I'm going to go Evan.
I think Even Spiegel is the way forward.
Sounds a bit like Even Steven.
Yeah. Or Evel Knievel.
The good side is that
he's annoyingly young. He's like, I think he's 23.
Oh, okay.
Oh, fuck him then.
I know.
Instagram doing something like this, doesn't that potentially mean that Snapchat could come up with something new, better? It puts more pressure on them to innovate.
Yeah,
and they've been good at innovating so far. Actually, it looked like it was a single feature app, and it seems to have developed quite well. Instagram seems to be monetizing a little bit better than Snapchat so far. It'll be interesting to see how Snapchat react. I did ask them how they felt about the launch, and they no commented me.
But did they no comment, like, no comment?
Well, it was via email. It's very difficult to apply a tone.
Was it in bold italics?
Yeah, that would be brilliant.
There's a very good gif that sums this up that we all tweeted this week of the episode of The Simpsons where Homer sees a boy on a skateboard that looks exactly like him and gives him the evils as he skates past. And that's exactly how that's what I imagine their no comment was like.
No comment.
Exactly.
But there is an opportunity here for Snapchat to poke fun at Instagram and say, like, you obviously liked our feature so much that you copied it. It'll be interesting to see if they go down that route.
Yeah.
It sounds, I mean, even like down to being public about the fact that it's an homage to Snapchat.
Mm.
This is another example of the way Facebook is being actually really well managed. Mm. You know, monetizing, growing the platform.
Yeah.
Unusually for a social media company.
Yeah, and for Instagram's perspective, this makes a ton of sense, because Instagram, for anyone that doesn't use it, you post very nice pictures, basically with filters of what you've been up to. But generally with Instagram, people will post not that frequently, because it'll have to be like an immaculate image of like you on holiday.
Some of them have like taken 300 attempts.
Exactly, right, exactly.
That's kind of why
I use Snapchat more, because it's it could be the worst image ever.
So,
who cares?
So Stories plugs that gap. So it plugs the gap between the images that you want to stay permanent and like show off is your, like, as you said, your curated like image.
Yeah.
And then you plug the gap by putting like the images that you want to just disappear, just the quicker hit images as your stories. And that means that Instagram has people coming there and posting things on a more regular basis.
I'm not sure how I feel about Instagram. I've got an account and I've pretty much never posted anything, because while everyone's taking perfectly filtered images, I'm a bit like, well, I'm actually just here.
You're living
fun.
Life. Yeah. Testify.
I mean, what's the point? What's the point? I mean, I'd rather just hang out with my friends than sit there filtering pictures.
Even though I know I'm devastatingly handsome, in the mirror and on photos, that never seems to come across.
It's so weird.
I have that. It's funny how, it's funny. You're like,
spherical thing on my neck. Actually, the exact opposite of Scott's face.
But at least your face and neck are now a similar colour, as opposed to last week, where there was a distinct older white neck Matt Egan came out to play.
That's right. Unfortunately, it's not my neck. It's not my face getting less red, it's my neck getting more red.
Oh, really? Have you been tanning? Have you been using those products I recommended?
No, I think it's just abusing my body has increased my blood pressure somewhat.
Great. Cool.
Good. Well, I think, quick question. So you have Instagram, you don't really use it.
No.
Do you use Snapchat?
No, not really. I mean, I have off and on with a couple of friends, but not particularly.
You're a Snapchat user?
More than Instagram. I have Instagram and I kind of just forget about
it. Yeah, I'm the same.
I think it is partly because of the pressure of like everything's got to be so amazing on it. It's like, well,
I can't be asking.
Like, and I'm never like anywhere where there's
also you're married to a photographer, so that probably puts a little bit of pressure on you. Scott Carey, do you use Snapchat or Instagram?
Yeah, I use all the social medias.
Look at him. Such
a millennial.
He's really proud of that.
He is, yeah.
But no, Instagram's my favourite.
You should have said Scott Carey uses all the...
Scott Carey, yeah.
No, Instagram's always been my favourite social media platform, and this will only make me use it more. And it will probably stop me using Snapchat, because those people are seemingly transitioning to Instagram stories anyway, so if I can catch them in one place, why would I bother flicking between apps?
How many pictures of your willy can you post?
It gets tiresome.
Perfectly curated and filtered.
Lovely. Okay, well, on that note, I think we should go to you first, Scott. Instagrate or snap the door shut?
Instagrate.
Charlotte G.
Snap the door shut.
Chris Martin, you have the deciding vote.
Snap the door shut.
Ouch. Oof. Well,
no millennials here.
Yeah.
Bombshell. Thank you for listening to this edition of the UK Tech Weekly Podcast. Do get in touch, let us know your thoughts and opinions and shake us down for cash, or indeed, if you're interested in advertising, I meant to say that bit out, you can tweet us at UK Tech Podcast or email editor@idag.co.uk. We will be back next week with more informed opinion on the hottest topics in tech. Until then, do find us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and all of those places from which you source noise. Don't forget to subscribe, review us, and tell your friends. Tell your friends. Until next week, say goodbye, team.
Bye.
Goodbye.
UK Tech Weekly Podcast.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.